The views and opinions discussed on this show are of the guests and host. They do not reflect the views or opinions of associated sponsors or affiliates. If you become possessed by an interdimensional being after listening to this podcast, we are not liable for any damage caused by ectoplasm, physicality towards loved ones, or levitation-related injuries where you are listening from. Enjoy at your own risk.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallory, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Welcome to episode 297 of your monthly paranormal variety show. And having you here is better than the sun finally coming out. And just how freaking cool was that eclipse? Like, did you guys get to enjoy that? I did. I was driving one of my children home, and I'm driving down the road, and suddenly it goes dark. All the street lights go on, and then suddenly it becomes light again. It was pretty cool. It was very short-lived, though. I kind of amounted to the first time, you know, you had relations. Might not have lasted very long. Boy, do you ever remember it forever. Why? Because you're wonderful, a masterpiece, beautifully made, important to people because you're important to me, highly favored by your creator, or the law of averages and physics working in tandem. You, my friend, are an oddball, and on this show, your family, and we are one. 297 episodes in. Wow. 10 years. 10 years is coming. It's coming in July. Pretty exciting stuff, huh? Man, what have you stuck with for 10 years? Has there been something you're really passionate about? Maybe it has to do with the paranormal. Maybe it has to do with something else. But is there something you just love? I can think of a few things I've been doing for really my whole life. Lifting weights is one thing. I've always loved weight training. Although I've never considered myself a bodybuilder because I just have not got the mental juice, so to speak, for the diet of it all. My God. And you know, I'm always been quite fond of video games. I love my video games. Although, I'll admit, I'm not as big on them as I used to be. Is there anything you guys are really into? Could be anything at all. Maybe you're into this like music or art. I always kind of wonder what this podcast would fall under. I don't really feel like it's music, and I don't really feel like it's art. I just feel like it's me talking to a bunch of old friends. They just don't talk back to me very often. But you know, there's one way to say hello. Absolutely. Don't forget, you can always quote-unquote buy me a coffee down in the show notes. That'd feel really nice. That'd be awesome, actually. I'd really appreciate that. Great way to support me in the show. Another thing you can do is just like, follow, and subscribe from wherever you're listening from. You know, there's so many places the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast is heard from all over the world. And we're always open to having new friends, new oddballs join the ranks here at the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Summer is just around the corner. The crocuses are coming out. That's not all that's coming out, though. Oh, boy. There's a lot of stuff coming out. A lot of creepy, crawly, weird stuff coming out. Yeah. You probably guess what my first story is going to be with the paranormal news.
Somewhere between the funnies and the obituaries is... Oh, yes. The paranormal news.
It's going to be Cicada-geddon, folks. It is the biggest bug emergence in centuries. Trillions of evolution's bizarre wonders, red-eyed periodical cicadas, are about to emerge in numbers not seen in decades and possibly centuries. Centuries crawling out from the ground every 13 to 17 years with a collective song as loud as jet engines, this periodical cicada are nature's kings of the calendar. These black bugs with bulging eyes differ from their greener-tinged cousins that come out annually. They stay buried year after year until they surface and take over a landscape, covering houses with shed exoskeletons and making that ground all crunchy-runchy. This spring, an unusual cicada double dose is about to invade a couple of parts of the United States, in particular in what University of Connecticut's cicada expert John Cooley called Cicadageddon. The last time these two broods came out together was back in 1803. Thomas Jefferson, who wrote about cicadas in his garden book but mistakenly called them locusts, was president at the time. Periodic cicadas don't be subtle, Cooley said. If you're fascinated by the upcoming solar eclipse, which already took place, the cicadas are weirder than bigger, said Georgia Tech biophysicist Saad Bama. We got trillions of these amazing living organisms coming out on the earth, climb up on the trees, and just a unique experience, a sight to behold. It's like an entire alien species living underneath our feet, and then some prime number of years, they come out and say, how you doing? Times mistaken for voracious and unrelated locusts, periodical cicadas are more annoying rather than causing biblical economic damage. They can hurt young trees and some fruit crops, but it's not widespread and can't be prevented. The largest geographic brood in the nation is called Brood 19, and coming out every 13 years is about to march through southeast, having already created countless boreholes in the red Georgia clay. It's a sure sign of the coming cicada occupation. They emerge when the ground warms up to about 17.8 degrees Celsius, which is happening earlier than it was used to because of climate change. Entomologists said the bugs are brown at first, but darken as they mature. Soon after the insects appear in large numbers in Georgia and the rest of southeast, cicada cousins that came out every 17 years will now also be coming out, and this is Brood 13. You've got the very widely distributed brood of 19, but you have a very dense, historically abundant brood in the Midwest, your Brood 13. And this is going to be the biggest just amount of insects on our planet coming out of the ground at the same time, two different broods or two different cicada cycles merging. I mean, these hideaway cicadas are found only in the United States, thank God, not here in Canada. 15 different broods that come out every 20 years. On a 17 to 13 year cycle, these two broods may actually overlap, but probably not interbreed, in a small area near central Illinois, and it's going to be a sight to behold. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to envision a couple of giant grasshoppers by your feet. Okay, kind of unsettling, not so bad. You know, you can get through it. You might step on them. You might cook them up and eat them. I don't know what you're into. I'm going to tell you one thing, though. When there's a trillion of them, oh my God, they're up to your knees and crawling and wriggling. And oh God, I don't know if it's odd to Newfoundland, but it's definitely, definitely, definitely crazy to think about. Whoa, oh boy. You know what? Let's talk about something a little bit more wholesome. Let's talk about the Oregon man who just nearly got killed by a saw blade. And I'm telling you right now, this story is just absolutely, I mean, it's earth-shaking. And the guy rightfully said, I need a beer. I'm still shaken up after the Oregon man nearly escaped being gored by a runaway saw blade. It's a freak accident. A man in Eugene, Oregon is thanking his lucky stars after nearly escaping being gored by a runaway saw blade. Sam Rimch, who was entering a local market with a four foot saw blade running at a nearby construction site, came loose and huddled towards the store's front door. I was walking in the store. I put my hand on the door and I heard a loud bang and yelling. Just as a cloud of smoke pops up and I see a guy fall in the ditch and a four-foot blade hurtling at me. The errant saw blade ended up lodged in the store wall just inches from where he stood. The building felt the impact, store owner Emery Garwal said. We were standing behind the counter. All I heard was metal rolling down the street. It was just wind. All of a sudden, we heard a loud bang. It shook the whole store. The saw blade was wedged 2 feet into the store's wall and required 3 men to remove it. The contractor at the construction site told and said that workers were fixing a leaky gas valve and suggested operator error caused the blade to spin out of control. A communications director from Northwest Natural Gas told the station that the incident involved a contractor at an NW Natural job site and said that the contractor has been removed from other work for the company while the incident is reviewed. Yeah, you think? Ah. The man who was almost killed said his kids were also shocked when they saw the video and they all came to my house and hugged me and had lots of cries. He added, obviously it wasn't my time, but probably the closest I've ever experienced. He then suggested how he was going to deal with the freak accident by saying, I need a beer. I'm still shaking. He said, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to work today. I'm going to drink a beer. And I can really relate because I actually used to be a wall cutter. Okay. I used to work in construction and I used to work with giant saw blades, and these saw blades are freaking huge. Like, we're talking my height. They're like 4, 5, 6 feet tall. These things spin with water and cut through concrete. Absolutely would chop a man in half if it was even at half speed coming towards you. So that guy really did cheat death. Tell you another thing that's hard to cheat death. Well, it's kind of hard to cheat death when it's all around you. There's a ghost town, okay? And the lady who lives there is in America's most haunted city, where phantom kids play and weeping ghosts are heard before mysteriously vanishing. A self-confessed ghost hunter living in America's most haunted city has revealed some of her most spine-chilling encounters with those from beyond the grave. Anaka Aidenfield, 42, is a lover of all things spooky who runs ghost tours in the historic city of Savannah, Georgia. Anaka said it feels like you're living shoulder to shoulder with people you can't see. So, like, John Cena? No, man. We're talking ghosts, okay? The city of Savannah is home to some of the most haunted hotels, B&Bs, and cemetery in the United States. Spiritual, Inaka moved to Savannah from Florida and now leads ghost tours in the city. The history buff says her close encounters with the city's phantoms have included feeling an invisible hand on her shoulder and even living in a haunted apartment. Pretty cool. Savannah has a long history of paranormal activity, with several reportedly haunted hotels, B&Bs, and cemeteries, while reports of ghostly sightings are off the charts. According to Anaka, the 19th century building known as Factor's Row are one of the most haunted areas in the city. Anaka said to the sun, when you walk around, you feel like you're shoulder to shoulder with people you can't see. Once my dog Vash stopped to do his crouch and wiggle move while we were there, like he was going to start playing with another dog. There was nothing there. He was playing with a ghost dog. I'm almost certain of it. Another notorious spot for ghost-hungry thrill-seekers is the Moon River Brewing Company, founded in 1821 at the City Hotel. The restaurant is today's dines out on its creepy reputation, so to speak, even featuring in a 2009 episode of Ghost Adventures with Zach Bagans. Building owners have maintained the original stone wall basement, with the unchanged interior adding to the spot's, well, weighty aura. Visitors have shared TikToks recounting their experience, saying hello to its many ghosts, including gambler James Shark, who was shot there in 1832, or the little boy named Toby, rumored to haunt its halls. Enoch said, Moon River is a well-known spot for paranormal investigators for a reason. It's very active with ghosts, and when you step inside, it feels like you're stepping back in time. On one visit with a food blogger friend, Inaka said the manager welcomed them in by telling them all about the woman in white. One night, the manager was upstairs getting something from storage when he heard a woman crying. He thought it was his coworker who was going through a breakup of sore over his shoulder. Oh boy. He started comforting her, saying, girl, you're going to get through this. You're better off without him, etc. And that's not exactly how it wound up. He walked back to where he thought she'd be, and there was no one there. It was the woman in white, heard weeping again. And there's other things too. The grave of Gracie Watson has attracted visitors for over 100 years, and others have reportedly spotted her ghost in the area. Savannah has lots of spooky properties, including the Agatha Christie style cafe based on the famous crime writer. Anaka spoke seriously and exclusively to the Sun about her chilling encounters with ghosts in the city, and there's no doubt, if you do look at some of these pictures, man, they are creepy as hell. Moon River also has a big mirror above his fireplace, and I wanted to take a haunted selfie. It's a joke me and my friends have. I started walking towards the fire to take my picture when suddenly I felt a hand on my chest. I could tell from the pressure a ghost did not want me to go there, so I stepped back and left that part of the room alone. What the heck is wrong with people? Okay, I'm a paranormal investigator. If I'm feeling things grabbing me and telling me to leave, I'm probably going to listen. Why don't people listen? I have no idea. I got halfway down the street outside and I felt something behind me. I was so sure someone was there. I thought it was about to get mugged. Turned around and there was nothing there. But I felt the presence. Ghosts are going to get familiar with you. You have to tell them to stay in their spot and not follow you. So I told the spirit to stay right there. And as I walked back to my car, I felt the presence get smaller and smaller. When you walk around, you feel like you're shoulder to shoulder with people you just can't see. Anaka once again mentioned, there's so many sites here that are so very, very haunted. And I really, really feel like it might be time for me to pack my bags and head to Savannah, Georgia, and check out the most haunted city in all of the United States. What do you guys think? You think it fits the bill? But I'm telling you, it's definitely one of the more interesting cities I've ever heard of. But there's more interesting cities out there. And, you know, every now and then I have a little conversation with you guys about how, you know, pets are pets and wild animals are wild animals. And sometimes we get it in our head that we want to help the wild animals because we want to make them their pets. Or we got this pet guilt thing. And I'm telling you right now, it doesn't make any sense because sometimes pets become pests. And sometimes wild animals become pests. And well, there's a lot of monkey mayhem going on. And it could soon be a thing of the past in central Thai city. The macaques that roam Laburi frequently try to snatch food from humans, sometimes resulting in tussles that can leave people with scratches and other injuries. Thai wildlife officials laid out a plan on Wednesday past to bring peace to a central Thai city after at least a decade of human-monkey conflict. The macaques that roam Laburi as a symbol of local culture and major tourist draw, but after years of dangerous encounters with residents and visitors and several failed attempts to bring peace with population controls, local people and businesses have had enough. The monkeys frequently try to snatch food from humans, sometimes resulting in fights, but outrage grew in March when a woman dislocated her knee after a monkey pulled her off her feet in an effort to grab food, and another man was knocked off a motorcycle by a hungry monkey. Authorities hope to round up 2,500 urban monkeys and place them in a massive enclosure, said Anthopali Kasathos, the director general of the Department of National Parks, Wildlife and Plant Conservation here in Thailand. They'll work with wildlife experts to find a way for a limited number of monkeys to stay, but only a limited number. I don't want humans to have to hurt monkeys, and I don't want monkeys to have to hurt humans, he told reporters during a news conference, an official monkey-catching campaign. like you can picture your resume going to join the monkey catchers in Thai. In this Thai city, honestly. An official monkey-catching campaign was launched this week, prioritizing more aggressive and alpha males. It's caught 37 monkeys so far, most of whom have been placed under the care of wildlife authorities in the neighboring province of Saraburi, while others were sent to the Laburi Zoo. Officials said they plan to capture the rest of the monkeys once the enclosures are complete, especially those in the residential areas. Separate cages will be prepared for different troops of monkeys to prevent them from fighting. So I'm going to ask the obvious question. What about like people who just look like monkeys? Are we going to put them in cages too? I mean, maybe I shouldn't go to Thailand, man. I might be screwed on this one. Experts say the first phase of the operation is start within weeks and has been a complete success. The monkeys are a symbol of the province, and they don't want to destroy the animals. They just want to make sure they're protected and also protecting other humans. Macaques are classified as a protected species under Thailand's wildlife conservation law. Some have blamed the city's monkey troubles on tourists and residents feeding the animals, which they say drew monkeys into the city and boosted their numbers, as well as getting them accustomed to getting food from humans. But an earlier effort to limit feeding may have made things worse. Some residents say local officials began threatening fines for feeding monkeys outside a few designated areas around the main tourist attractions in recent years. But those feeding areas were dominated by a few troops of the highly territorial creatures, while rival bands grew hungry and turned to harassing people. I'm telling you, man, these guys are a menace. Previous control measures have fallen short, because I've reported on this multiple times over the last 10 years on this show. In fact, our first year of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal podcast actually had me talking about them hunting the monkeys, tranquilizing them, and bringing them out of town only to have them return. Then I also did another article, I think it was 2018, actually, following up on actually a disease outbreak caused by those monkeys that had been contained. It was very similar to rabies. It's a different type. And now, I mean, they're just tormenting people. Now they just seem to be tormenting people, bullying people for the food and stuff. It's kind of sad, really. But anyway, the experts said they were also working in other areas of Thailand that are facing problems with monkeys, such as Karikan and Phetchaburi. He said 52 of the country's 77 provinces report frequent problems with monkeys and have been a known problem for almost 100 years. Guys, who's your monkey? Who's your main monkey? Who's your man? My goodness, did we ever have fun today? We had all kinds of crazy, wild, and woolly stories. I think about those cicadas, and I'm all creeped out. Oh, man. I don't know what I'm able to handle that, walking knee-deep in cicadas. Oh, my God. Like, they're giant grasshoppers with beady eyes. I think about that, and I think about just this crazy, crazy monkey macaque monkeys, man. Like, what are we supposed to do with all that? Like, can you imagine? Knee-deep in bugs and then getting beat up by a macaque for your lunch. I mean, this world's not fit to live in. Make sure one of them wants to check out early and head to Savannah, Georgia and haunt the place. I know one thing, though. All these stories have been odd to Newfoundland. Take care, guys.
Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn radio listeners. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast, always available, always free, always odd.